Inspiring solutions to save America, one show at a time. Are you ready to get on board?
They believe that they can destroy this bond that exists between you and Trump if they somehow make Trump look bad, make Trump look like a reprobate, embarrass you about Trump. They can't do it because you came before Trump. Desperately want Trump gone, and I know that they desperately want it codified that Trump cannot run again, because make no mistake, they remain scared to death of you, and they remain scared to death of Trump. Trump, 75 million, 80 million votes. And I'm going to tell you, you're not going anywhere. Even if Trump does, you're not. Which I think remains one of our big campaign strengths going forward. They can't separate you from Trump. And more importantly, they can't separate you from the ideas. They can't separate you from MAGA. They can't separate you from Make America Great Again.
From sea to shining sea, 3 hours of bold truth and excellence. The Wendy Bell Radio Program.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Wendy Bell Radio Program. As always, delighted to spend time with you. Thanks for being here. Thank you if you've not done so, though. You might consider getting the podcast. Wendy Bell Radio, wherever you get your favorite listening material, it's so daggone easy. So if you miss anything, we break down the show in three separate chunks. Hour one, hour two, hour three. Each is available at your fingertips by downloading Wendy Bell Radio, the podcast, onto your phone, onto your device, and then bingo, you can be part of our family. 2 million downloads and growing. Having been a television news anchor and reporter for almost 30 years, sometimes I find myself looking back and wondering how much I was fooled. How much I was conned, how little I was paying attention to all of it. How long have the media been corrupt? How long have they been the propagandists of this uniparty swamp establishment narrative, which is just awful? And it's humbling. To look back critically and say, you know what, I was busy. I was raising my kids. I was running around. I was anchoring the 5 o'clock and the 11 o'clock news. I was splitting my shift, coming home to make dinner, deal with little boys and bath time and homework and dinner and all of this stuff. And, you know, it was difficult. How long did I not pay attention? But we're paying attention now. And the date at which you are awakened or you see something gets peeled back in the narrative that doesn't make sense to you, it's less important about the date. It's more important that it happens. And we're hearing it and we're watching it on the southern border. There's nothing that these people have said to us that is true. Joe Biden has taken destructive, immediate action to unravel what had been working for a serious purpose. And we are all feeling the effects of it now. I am intrigued when I say that the New York Post today headline, Trump would beat Biden handily if election were held today, according to the latest poll. Now, this is contrary to what mainstream wants you to believe. They want you to believe that he's so distrusted. People don't want him. Bull crap. We want sanity back. And sanity is not Alejandro Mayorkas being in charge of freaking anything. The man is a snake. He is a liar. And I'm intrigued specifically in a 2 minute exchange he had over the weekend with Margaret Brennan on CBS. And I have three audio sound bites for you. And they begin with the heartbreaking reality that the immigrant who allegedly murdered Lakin Riley in Georgia should not have been here. He had broken the law a couple times. There was no reason for him to be here. And he should have been deported. And so Margaret Brennan is trying to ask Alejandro Mayorkas, who's freaking in charge of the border, right? Not only are Border Patrol agents and Secret Service agents under his purview, right? He's got all the data. He knows all of the facts. He can't say her name. He cannot say Lakin's name. This is astonishing to me. Listen to audio soundbite number one.
Did those states and their law enforcement communicate to the federal government that this had happened? Should this man have been deported?
A few thoughts. First, Margaret, first and foremost, an absolute tragedy. And our hearts break for and our prayers are with the family.
The family. You know that he doesn't even know who they are. You know that neither he nor anybody in the Biden administration has reached out to her family. Say her name, Alejandro. Say her freaking name. And he has to look at notes. Notes. It's like Karine Jean-Pierre needing a binder with tabs. No, see, there are some things that you just know. You don't need to be prompted. These people are not human beings. They behave as monsters. And the lip service that comes after that is so disgusting. It is so offensive. And this is standard operating. This is what you get in this administration. She continues. And she says, look, Mr. Secretary, this dude is accused of bludgeoning her head in as she was running in the morning, going out for a run. These reports, he should not have been here. Listen to Alejandro Mayorkas dodge any kind of culpability. Go.
One individual is responsible for the murder, mm-hmm. and that is the murderer. And we work very closely with state and local law enforcement to ensure that individuals who pose a threat to public safety are indeed our highest priority
really?
For detention and removal.
Like the dudes who beat up the cops in New York City and they were outbounced on the street in no time? Is that how seriously you take it, Alex? One person, he says, is responsible. Well, it's funny because whenever there's a shooting, it's not the gun's fault. It's MAGA. It's a right-wing extremist. It's something crazy, and we need to not just blame the individual and their mental illness, because if you're going to go somewhere and you're going to have the intent to kill a bunch of people, you're freaking crazy. It's never that. This is what you get on the right, this hatred. See, over here on the left, because of the policies that created that allowed this to happen, he's going to say, no, it's one person's fault. It's this person, this guy's fault. It's not what we're doing. Isn't it an interesting shift? And then Margaret Brennan brings up an intriguing poll. And the poll says, people don't like you. They don't like Joe Biden. They don't like your policies. They don't trust you. This is where everything begins to turn. Go.
We know that immigration is a key issue for voters across the country. And according to our polling, by more than 5-1, voters believe President Biden's policies will lead more migrants to try crossing the border compared with President Trump's policies. Only 22% think your policies will decrease migrant crossings.
So people, they know what is going on. This is not a mystery, Alex. You could sit here and say, thoughts and prayers. Do you know how insulting that is? I'd rather be ignored than have somebody who is incapable because they are dead inside. That is how dark they are. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we've got something.
Wendy Bell,
breaking news.
Let's get to it. The Supreme Court has ruled former President Donald Trump is eligible to run for office. This overturns the Colorado Supreme Court decision that found him ineligible as a candidate and disqualified from the state ballot under Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. Quote, this is from the Epoch Times, by the way. Responsibility for enforcing Section 3 against federal office holders and candidates rests with Congress and not the states. Thank you very much. The judgment of the Colorado Supreme Court, therefore, cannot stand. All nine members of the court agree with that result. A unanimous decision, ladies and gentlemen. Of course, you know, besides the Supreme Court in Colorado, the Maine Secretary of State and an Illinois judge had also ruled President Trump ineligible after finding that he engaged in an insurrection. Sit down. Sit the hell down. At least we have a little bit of faith now that not everything is lost in this country. I want to get out to this Ohio Senator J.D. Vance. He's going to tell you the truth, what he thinks is going on at the border. And all of them can be traced back to the result for Lakin's murder. Listen.
Joe Biden opened up the floodgates. He implemented over 90 executive orders at the beginning of his administration that were meant to open the border. He and his Secretary of Homeland Security, they bragged about it. They said they were undoing the Trump border policies. And now, 3 years later, we're living with the disaster of it. We just go back to this terrible murder of Lakin Riley, who was killed doing what young kids just do. She was out exercising, enjoying her life, and she was brutally murdered by someone who shouldn't have been here. That person was paroled by the Biden administration. And I have to say, Maria, it's not just a radical departure from the Trump border policies. It's in some ways a radical departure from the Obama border policies. Barack Obama paroled about 5,000 illegal aliens per year. Joe Biden is paroling close to 1 million per year, including the person who brutally murdered Lakin Riley. So we have a problem. It is a problem called Joe Biden. And unless we get him out of the Oval Office, we're never going to have a secure border because he doesn't have the will to do basic border enforcement.
All right, quick timeout. When we come back, you've got to hear some random acts of journalism, courtesy of 60 Minutes. Wait, what? What's next? Saturday Night Live actually telling the truth? I don't know. Buckle up. It's next on the Wendy Bell Radio program. It's important to notice that not every media outlet is seeing that, oh no, I'm going to have to come forward at some point. I'm going to have to start telling the truth at some point because this isn't going to end well. This is not going to age well. If these news outlets have been pushing the narrative of suck on the left, and they have, and you're awakened, I'm awakened, black voters are awakened, Hispanics know what's going on, Generation Z voters, of which there are three in my home, three of my five sons, fall in that 18 to 24 category. If everybody is awakening and these outlets refuse to start telling the truth, CNN's on the phone with you. They've got some advice. Don't do it. Tell the truth. Listen to this. This is a sit down. His name is Raul Ortiz. This was an episode of 60 Minutes last night. And it's amazing. He was a former head of the Border Patrol, served under Donald Trump as an assistant, was the dude before retiring last year under Biden. Listen to the reality of a disconnected Biden administration. Not disconnected. They're disinterested. They don't give a crap. They don't care about the people, the collateral damage. They don't care about the dead migrants drowning in the river. They don't care about the kids being trafficked. They don't care about the women being raped. They don't care about the organ harvesting. Right? They don't care. 60 Minutes in a random act of journalism yesterday. Intriguing. Listen.
In our interview, Ortiz criticized Governor Abbott for not cooperating with the Border Patrol and playing politics with immigration. But he also expressed frustration with President Biden.
I've never had one conversation with the president or the vice president for that matter. And so I was the chief of the Border Patrol. I commanded 21,000 people. That's a problem.
I'd say so. Never once. What happened to the root causes? What happened to Kamala Harris, the czar? What happened to anything? It's all smoke and mirrors. It's all bullcrap. It's optics. It's Great Gatsby. It's obvious. Ted Cruz drops this obvious statement as well. Go.
Come to the border and see the misery and suffering that your open border policies have caused. Look at the dead bodies, the 853 migrants who died last year crossing illegally into this right. country. Look in the eyes of the little children brutalized by human traffickers. Look in the eyes of women violently raped by human traffickers. Look at the families who have lost over 100,000 loved yes. ones to drug overdoses and take responsibility. You know what, David? I'm confident Joe Biden will do none of that.
I am as well. And where's this breaking news? U.S. border agents find $11 million worth of fentanyl pills hidden in a vehicle. This is the one they got. How many others did they not? This trying to cross in at San Ysidro, I guess, San Diego. They pull over a sedan, a 2008. Dude inside, some 37-year-old guy, trying to cross over from Mexico into the United States at the San Ysidro point of interest. K-9 unit alerts officers to the glove compartment area, indicating the possible presence of narcotics. I'll say, how about this? Estimated 561,000 pills. 561,000. A total weight of 123 pounds. Approximate street value of $11,220,000. This is what we found. For every one guy in a 2008 sedan, how many 50 are getting through? This is what we're up against. And you know what? The whole idea that the Biden administration is trying to call them newcomers, these people coming across the border, they're not illegal immigrants. Yeah, they are. Yeah, they are, because they're breaking the law. And they're from other places. That's what that means. Don't get hurt by that. It's factual. Don't dare call them newcomers. Newcomers, welcome. I can only imagine the travel arrangements. Come on. You too can be raped along the way. Don't know how to swim? Don't worry about it. And if you're a little 10-year-old boy, you might be left alone to wander the border all by yourself, as we discussed in the opening monologue. This is what you get in Joe Biden's America. And they want you shackled and chained. And I'll explain that coming up. Unreal updates. But I have to do this. Another train derailment. A CEO who gets a fat 37% raise. Millions of dollars. Are CEOs getting paid more to put all of us in danger? Feels like it. Let's go there next on the Wendy Bell Radio Network. Welcome back, my friends. You are dialed into the Wendy Bell Radio program. As I tell you, I like to kind of float up at about 30,000 feet, look down and see what's going on. It's kind of hard to have that view when you're down in the trenches because you can only see what's in front of you. But when you get up a little higher and you look down, you can see with a little bit more clarity. You can notice trends. You can see dots starting to connect. You can see things in a different perspective. And it is from that I'm looking at this story of not just another Norfolk Southern train derailment, but yet another wildfire, another monster catastrophe. This is the biggest fire in Texas history. Stuff happens. I get it. But I see nothing anymore as a coincidence. I don't believe that more than 100 industrial food manufacturing fires last year, and I think the number was more like 135 or something like that. Those are not all just, wow, that's so weird. Huh, what's going on? I don't know. Is there a threat on our, is there an attack on our food supply? Do we live in an abusive government, right? That wants to control not just what you eat, how you eat, where you get it from, who can grow it and how? Because from where I'm looking, yes, it's exactly what it is. I have no idea what sparked this Texas wildfire in the panhandle. I can tell you the collateral damage if they don't get this thing under control and it's not controllable. You got 10 million head of cattle in the line of fire. That's your food supply. That makes me uncomfortable. It should. But I started doing a little digging. This XL Energy, so wild. The CEO last year got a $3 million raise. That's amazing. $3 million. Do you know how many of us won't make $3 million in our lifetime? And this guy, yeah, whatever. Guess, do you guys want to guess who the main investors are with XL Energy? Brock, you want to weigh in on that? What do you think?
I'm going to go with BlackRock.
Uh-huh.
And Vanguard.
Uh-huh. And State Street. That's right. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Bing, 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 bing. Wait a minute. What about Hawaiian Electric? Hawaiian Electric. CEO makes millions of dollars. It's the way it goes. I don't besmirch anybody's capitalistic ability to make a buck. But, you know, Lahaina did get freaking wiped off the map. And there's some downed power lines that some people thought might have exacerbated the problem. Who do you guys think the main shareholders are in Hawaiian Electric? Oh, that's right. That's BlackRock and Vanguard. Huh. Oh, this is so weird. Norfolk Southern. This is wild. Well, let's get out to the breaking news from over the weekend on the other side of the land before time where I am in Philadelphia. Let's listen in.
Breaking news out of Northampton County. You're looking at the first images of a train derailment in Lower Salkin Township. The Nancy Run Fire Company says the derailment is on Riverside Drive. On social media, county leaders say there are no evacuations, no injuries, and no leaks from any of the containers on board. Hazmat crews are on the scene in Norfolk Southern. They are also on the site assessing the situation. Our crews are monitoring the situation as well, and we're bringing you the updates as we get them.
Ooh, I've got nothing to tell you. We've got nothing at all, though we can tell you that there's nothing leaching into the water, because in a matter of hours, we've been able to establish that, which is crap. So wait, what's this? Norfolk Southern. That's crazy. Norfolk Southern CEO. His pay jumped to $13 million. After that derailment in East Palestine, Ohio. Wait, who are the main investors, shareholders in Norfolk Southern? What was that?
BlackRock and Vanguard.
And State Street. Oh my gosh, it's so weird. It's like all these things. Why? What is going on? Well, I was kind of more interested beyond the suck of the CEOs getting compensated a hell of a lot for a lot of issues. Like, you would think after devastating wildfires eliminated, you know, generations of families and forever incinerated like a crematorium, a community in Lahaina. I don't know. I wouldn't be like, hey, Phil, get in here. Let's have a talk. My man, you've done a great job. I think you deserve a raise. Is $2 million more than you're making now good? In what world does that happen? It doesn't. But when we're talking about train derailments, well, this is unfortunate. We started doing a little digging. Like, how many times do the trains derail? A hell of a lot. Does anybody want to ask that wild question? What the hell's going on? Because I don't know, as a curious mom, as a common sense conservative woman who can read the news, I can connect those dots. Something serious is going on. Got a bunch of manufacturing plants, food supply up in smoke. So weird how that happens. More than 100 times in a year. Big ones. Like millions of chickens gone. Poof. Right? You got cows now. 10 million head. Getting ready to be in the line of fire if they already aren't. And then you got these weird train derailments all over the place. USAfacts.org. Find this. Find this. You'll want to read this. Here's the question. Are train derailments becoming more common? And I might add as an aside here, as just a curious person, where the hell is Pete Buttigieg? What does this dude do? He doesn't show up in East Palestine until everybody is ticked, and he has to. And then he has some glad-handery limp, oh, we were on the ground immediately. No, you weren't, Pete. You clown. How about this? This is as of October 2023. This is just in the United States, just last year, and with still 2 months to go in the year, the Federal Railroad Administration has recorded 742 train derailments. 742. So you're averaging 2.5 train derailments a day. Now, does anybody tap the brakes and say, you know, I'm no engineer. I'm not a rock star. But some crap is going on. And I think we should probably figure it out. And what's going on in Pennsylvania? Well, let's dig a little bit deeper. How about this? Since 1975, an average 2,808 trains have derailed each year, with a peak of 9,400, right? 9,400 derailments in 1978. In the decade following that peak, the number of derailments mostly fell through the 1980s. By 1990, derailments had reached about 2,300 a year. Well, is that a good enough number? Like, what's going on? And why? Is it a problem with our infrastructure? Because last time I checked, we just, what? A $1.9 trillion infrastructure bill? Isn't that what it was? Like, what are we doing? Where's that money going? It's certainly not making our rails more safe, making trains and their passage any better. We had 467 people who have died in these train accidents since the 1970s. But let's talk about some of the areas that have the most problems. Why is this? Don't you guys think that after one derailment with toxic chemicals in the waterway, that people would hit the brakes and be like, okay, enough? No, it's called totally inept. Illinois, Texas, and Pennsylvania have had more derailments than anywhere else in the nation. Illinois has had the most, 12,958 since 1975. That's a lot. How about this? Texas has the most railway mileage, 10,500 miles of rail lines. The state has recorded the second highest number of derailments since 1975, 12,841. Pennsylvania has 6,500 train derailments. And you know what the number one cause? Let's see. The number two cause, human factors. Half of all accidents are caused by either mechanical failure or some sort of structural issue involving the track or the roadbed. All right? Human factors, such as a crew member failing to perform their duty or violating an operating rule, accounted for 30%. One third equals human error. What are we paying the Department of Transportation for? Are we paying for those fine bridges? The wonderful roads? Because in my community, they suck. Are we paying for safe transportation of goods and services on our rail lines? No. Because the amount of hazardous materials, not to the extent of East Palestine, because some idiot was like, blow it up. Because that makes sense. And there's no accountability. There's no afterthought. And who is the collateral damage? We are. So when I said at the beginning of the show that the theme today is shackled and chained, yes, physically, because you're about to come up to a story of a reporter shackled and chained 3 years later for his processing on misdemeanor charges following January 6th. That's the literal sense. But we all are in this administration. It's run by incompetent boobs who check boxes, none of whom are even remotely qualified or have any kind of skill or concern in their individual capacities. Two, that ineptitude allows horrendous, horrendous, cataclysmic loss of life. And three, if you want to ask about it or talk about it, you'll be silenced, you'll be canceled, you'll be censored, or you'll be fired. Or, what the hell? All of the above. And these people want to tell us that Joe Biden wants to finish the job. Is it possible that America could survive? Whatever the hell that means. I'm going to go with no. So again, USAFacts.org. Fascinating. When you start peeling back the layers and looking a little bit deeper into this. Thank God the CEO is making 13 mil a year. Makes me sleep better. All right, forget liberty and justice. It's all about retribution and revenge. At the DC Gulag, I'll explain why. Coming up next on the Wendy Bell Radio Network. There's this really strange and hard to describe. It's not petty because I try to describe what goes on in the mind of a leftist, right? A communist, Marxist, socialist, progressive slash one of these people who's easily triggered by those of us who dare to not agree with what they think, right? The knives out. There's this. There is this palpable, just vitriol, a loathing for those of us who are like, yeah, I don't really see the world the way you do. I disagree. How dare you? We live in this homogenized world where there is one way only. It's called the cattle chute. And if you ain't in it, you're an enemy. I saw this morning and... Headline, Gateway Pundit, ear-piercing noise blares through the D.C. gulag, torturing sleep-deprived January 6 political prisoners for weeks. I guess we should not be at all surprised by the left's cavalier handling of the just absolute awful treatment of human beings coming to this country. From the minute they are extorted for whatever it costs to get here, to the peril on their journey, to all of it. The hatred, I struggle with that. And here's the story, and I want you to hear the sound in just a minute. An ear-shattering, harrowing, sharp noise has been blaring through the Washington, D.C. Correctional Treatment Facility for weeks, where January 6 political prisoners are detained. Look, I realize that prison's not supposed to be comfortable, but it's not supposed to defy your human rights. You ought not be served food with bugs in the food. You should not be beaten. You should not be denied medical treatment when we have transgender, quote unquote, dudes who want to be girls getting transferred into women's prisons, getting actually having rights, being preferred. And you have people who wandered through the state cap, through the Capitol building, rather not state, the U.S. Capitol on January 6th, who got rounded up and convicted and thrown away. And I want you to hear the noise. Here's what they're hearing. This is somebody walks into this jail. right? The DC Gulag. They are walking into basically a vestibule area where one would ostensibly meet a prison worker who would take them somewhere, right? This is not inside the bowels of this C3A. This is a cell block known as the Patriot Pod in the DC Gulag. This is floors away. And listen to the sound. Imagine how loud it is where these folks are sleeping. Go. Is that awful? Right? It's like a smoke detector. It's something. And that is what they are hearing. The January 6th political prisoners being detained, segregated from the general population. Why would you do that? So you can get away with inhumane treatment of people who did what exactly? Of what exactly? I don't understand it, and I don't ever want to understand it. Because I can look at people who I fundamentally disagree with, and I don't want to hurt them. I don't wish ill will upon them. I don't hope something terrible happens. I would not delight if one of them lost their job. I wouldn't sit here and rejoice. Because that's not what normal good people do. And somewhere along the way, there was a switch that got flipped. And then there's something that happened. To be okay with thousands of people being brutalized on their trip here. To be okay with beating and torturing fellow human beings, I'll never understand that. There is a mental illness in this country, and it is perpetuated by this administration that wants you, if you dissent, shackled and chained. And when we come back after this next short break, and we are at the top of the third hour, I want to talk about the optics. When you don't have facts, when you don't have a track record, when you don't have anything to campaign on but destruction and humiliation and suffering and poverty and loss and insecurity and terror, all you have left is the optics of your storyline. And the optics are, for the left, that allowing Donald Trump back into office is going to threaten this country in a way that we can't fathom. Friends, we're already there. And the processing of one man, a journalist, 3 years after January 6th, shackling him so that he can be processed for misdemeanors, your country's already gone. It's gone. And we've got that story for you coming up next, third hour of the Wendy Bell Radio program.